Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Candy Bag B. I am LB, and thank you for tuning in and checking me out and seeing what the fuck I'm going to be talking about today. So, today's show is called, This Ain't the 50s, B. So we're going to be discussing relationship shit. Things that happen in relationships that most people may not talk about or they may not think about until they knee deep off in some shit. And then it's like, oh, goddamn, I done bit off more than I can chew. So let me preface this by saying thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the support that I have had before I even started this. I guess I'll give y'all a little bit about who I am. As I said, I am LB. That's the letter L, capital. And that is the letter B, capital. Because I'm that bitch. But I am 38 years old. I am married. I have 3 beautiful children, ages 6, 7, and 21. Tomorrow, July the 30th, is my husband and I's 8th wedding anniversary. And I am ecstatic. I am excited. And I am thankful to have made it 8 years married. And we've been together 11 years. So we are polyamorous. And that means that I date other people. If he chooses to, he dates other women. I prefer men, and I like women a little bit, but not too much to shake some shit up. But anyway, it works for us. It has been a difficult journey at times, but we've both learned things about ourselves and each other and being together in this that I don't think we would have experienced had we kept the traditional marriage. You know, we just do what works for us. That's all we can do. That's all we gonna do. And I suggest you do the same. So as far as polyamory goes, it's kind of up and down. Even though a man may be polyamorous, doesn't mean that he necessarily has the understanding that he needs to when dealing with a certain type of woman. So, you know, I have mostly dealt with guys who are non-poly, so that was difficult in itself, but we'll get into that on other topics, because, honey, I can go on and on about that shit, but that ain't what we're talking about tonight. So, or today, tonight, whenever the hell you listening to it, whenever. So, I am dating while married, and as I stated, I have a story for days even in that, but that was a podcast coming on later. Now, I do a live show on Facebook on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. If you are more of a viewer versus listener, you can definitely check me out. They are not going to be the same topics when this drops, when the audio drops versus when I do the lives. So you can expect to hear different things on both shows. So let's go ahead and get on into it after I've told you more about myself. All right. So, relationships can get tricky. And when you meet somebody and you got that new relationship energy, or NRE, everything seems great about a person. You know, you love everything they do. You love everything they say. And girl, he smells so good and he can kiss so well. And, you know, everything is positive and flowers and deer running in the fields and all kind of shit like that. But then as the relationship builds is when you no longer see a person's representative. That is when the real relationship starts. Because that new relationship energy, honey, that shit had you all in the clouds. And, honey, you be all sprung and doing all kind of crazy shit. But once that new relationship energy wears off, and I say it's normally about 6 months, that's when you start to see who a person truly is. And that is when you can make your decision whether you want to proceed with caution, or cut that shit off. The three of those can be difficult things to figure out if you are unsure or have a hard time, you know, making a decision. So let's move forward. So it's 6, 8, 9 months, a year down the road, and you're still together. You all are exclusive, you know. Yeah, I had that conversation. So now it's time to make the decision. Okay, do we move in with each other? Do we combine these households so that we both can save money? That's a decision a lot of people talk about and really decide if they want to share a space. Personally, for me, I think that if marriage is on your plate, you need to live with your fiancé. That will let you know if you can or cannot deal with their quirks, because everybody has them. So let's say you decide to go ahead and move in, right? Everything is going fancy and going free. And now here come the money conversation. Now she works. She pays bills in her own apartment or house or whatever she had. And he's doing the same. But now that you're living together, you got to kind of, you know what I'm saying, put that shit together and figure out how you are going to pay these bills together. Now, a lot of people say it should be 50-50 down the middle. Personally, I like 50-50. If both people make the same amount of money, which they're going to have to be open about that. They make the same amount of money. You add up the bills. That's the car note, house note, condo note, whatever kind of notes you got. Y'all get to add that up, seeing whose finances are where according. And you also have to take into account the other bills, personal bills that a person may have, which could be credit cards, their savings account, you know, their shopping habits, food habits, things like that. You also have to take grocery shopping into account as well. So, you know, you're a year in with somebody, and now it's time to get down to the nitty gritty about where this money going and what we going to do with it. So me and my girls was having a conversation, and we was like, so are y'all cool with 50-50? You know, you with a dude and y'all live together. You pay half the bills, he pay half the bills. We like, yeah, that shit is cool. I'm fine with it. I prefer it, as a matter of fact. So I have heard women say that even though they work, they expect for their man to pay the majority of the bills. And this is why I say, this ain't the 50s, bitch. This 2019. You are an able-bodied, capable, working woman. He is an able-bodied, capable, working man. Why should he bear the brunt of the bills just because he's a man? If you all are living in a house together, if you all are doing everything together, then everything should be together. That's just my view, though. I understand the women who feel that way, because most of the time they are looking at their parents' marriages. They're looking at their parents' relationships. But we got to think, okay, when our parents got married, that's how shit went. But if your parents been married over 20 years, a lot of shit has changed in 20 years. Ask me how I know. 20 years ago, I was 18 and I was a single mom straight out of high school. Now I'm a 38-year-old mother of three that's married. And looking at life in 20 years, that shit go by so fast. But y'all understand what I mean when I say things have changed. So I think personally that long gone are the days when a man should be or is expected to carry the financial responsibility of the house, period, or the bills, period. Now, here's a subtopic to that. When we talking about 50-50, is that 50-50 straight down the line? And that's the finances, kids, chores, household chores, laundry, cooking, grocery shopping. Like, is everything cut in half? Because if she working and you working, why she the only one cleaning up? Why she the only one cooking? Just because you a man? You can come in and sit down like the king of the castle when she's probably worked the same amount of hours that you did? Now, nigga, get your ass up and go in there and cook me some dinner, too. Now, let's not get into the plate fixing thing, because that's, I got a completely different view on that. I might touch on that a little bit later, because that is a part of relationships. But I think before moving in, you really need to have difficult conversations about what your expectations are in this relationship. Like, there are men who expect for a woman to fix his plate. Not if it's goddamn feet and hands work, but that's just me. There are some guys who feel like the woman is the one that should take care of all the household stuff. She should be the one cooking. She should be the one cleaning, even though she work. And I don't understand that, but you know, that's just his way of thinking. Maybe that's the type of house that he grew up in. I don't know, but that ain't my thing. There are also women who don't clean up. There are women who are nastier than a motherfucker, but they got a man though. There are also women who work and only want to spend their money on them, not the bills. I got a man, what I need to pay bills for. And then you got those that don't know how to clean, they never learn how to clean, don't know how to cook, never learn how to cook. I don't know. It's just, there are so many different ways that relationships can go, but you really got to have those conversations in the beginning so you kind of don't have to worry about a lot of discord and arguments. There are going to be arguments, because when I tell y'all, 11 years later, I am still annoyed by the sight of my beautiful husband's hair chips in the sink. That blows me every single time I see it. I don't even say anything about it anymore because it's pointless. I know they're going to be there. And I know he's tired of seeing my jewelry and perfume and all my shit all over the place too. So you get to a point where things like that don't bother you outwardly to the point where you feel you like you got to say something about it. But I don't think in relationships, one person should be over the other as far as because he's the man, he has the final decision. No, not really, because his decision may be fucked up. His decision may cost money. His decision may jeopardize your livelihood. So at what point do you say, okay, listen, I know this is your idea, but here is what I think about it. And then you all can hopefully have a conversation like, okay, so you know what, babe? This is him to her. You know what, babe? I'm going to let you take the lead on this. Like, that's one hell of a man to be able to say that to his woman. Like, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. You know what I'm saying? You better at this type of situation than I am. So you go ahead and you go and have it. And then it needs to be the same for her too. And be like, you know what, babe? That's you. You got it, baby. I trust whatever decision you make about this situation, and we're going to roll with it however it goes. Now, if you women, ladies, if you give your advice and he is hell-bent on doing the fucked up shit or dumb shit that's coming out of his mouth, sometimes you got to let him do it. Just so. Not to say, I told you so, not to throw it back in his face, but let him see that you know what you're talking about too. Because, you know, sometimes men don't hear what we're saying. They listen to us, but they aren't hearing what we're saying to the point where we have wisdom in situations as well. So I might be telling you something, or I may be asking questions that you didn't think about. And that's me helping us, because ultimately your decision affects the both of us. My decisions affect the both of us. So you definitely have to take into account your mate's well-being as well. Even if, you know, you're stubborn like me and like, you know what, I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do anyway. And I've pulled back a lot from that. And I just kind of sit in situations and think about them first. And then if I feel strongly about something, then I can communicate that better because I've had a chance to think about it. So let's get a little deeper. So now you all have been together over a year. You're living together. Shit's going good. Bae can cook. Bae fixing my plate. This shit clean. The house clean. All that good shit, right? Now he get down on his knee and he propose. Oh my God, girl. Oh my God, girl. He done proposed it to me. Oh my God. And you know, you telling all your friends and you showing your ring. And okay, so about this ring, ladies. I ain't gonna even lie. If you my homegirl, like we really, 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 really cool homegirls, and your man give you a dot ring, and what a dot ring or a diamond dust ring is, this is what I visualize. I visualize a diamond and somebody busting it with a hammer until it's all dust. And then they scrape all of that dust. They put a little glue on inside a little dot part on the ring, right? And then they sweep it all the diamond dust, they sweep it all into the ring, and voila, there you go. Now, that's just me being funny and telling jokes about that shit. But if that's all your man can afford and you okay with that, baby, you get your dot ring and you show your dot ring off and you tell me to mind my motherfucking business, and I'm gonna tell you, yep, you right. Because at the end of the day, baby, you got to do what you got to do. And I got to do what I got to do, too. And that ring is on your finger and not mine. Anyway, so he done proposed it to you, girl. Now y'all planning a wedding and all of this shit. But hold up. Did y'all talk about kids first? Are y'all going to have kids? And I'm not talking about your grandmama keep telling you, ooh, I sure love to be a great grandmama one day. Or your mama keep like, when y'all gonna have some grandbabies for me? I don't mean that kind of talk about it. I mean, did y'all really sit down and have a conversation about child rearing, child birthing, the naming of said children? Where are they going to sleep? What are they going to eat? Diapers, bibs, onesies, all kind of shit. Because babies need a lot of shit, like a whole lot of shit. And they change your life completely. Either they change your life for the better or they change your life for the worse. And either way, you are going to find out exactly who you are once you have a child. Some women do not have that mother's intuition or that natural nurturing attitude towards their children. And some men do. And then vice versa. Some guys, they just never get the hang of that shit. And then some just pick right up on it and can get it moving. But you definitely need to make sure you're talking about that. How are we going to discipline our children? Are you a spanker? Are you a yeller? Are you a cusser? Like, do you cuss kids out? You know, if that's how you was raised, then 9 times out of 10, you're going to do the same thing to your kids. But you need to figure that out. If that's cool with you, for your kids to get cussed at or cussed out by your husband, wife, so on and so forth. You got to talk about families. You got to talk about family dynamic. You know, am I cool with your mama watching a baby? You cool with my mama watching a baby? So on and so forth. Because that's relationship shit. Like, you really got to talk about that. Because the worst time to have that conversation is after it done already happened. Ask me how I know. All right, so Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. You walking down the aisle, you know, you got your cameras flashing and everybody taking pictures of the girl. And you done did your little dance routine at the reception for your man, girl. And then, months and months, you find out, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. Oh baby, we're having a baby. And all this shit is beautiful and wonderful and lovely and all of that. And then guess what? 9 months later, that little motherfucker is here. And you are like, wait, so I don't sleep but every 2 to 4 hours? And I'm breastfeeding too? And he laying right here acting like he don't hear this goddamn baby crying. And I done been up all day and all night with this hollering ass child. And he gonna act like he don't hear nothing. Oh, okay. Got something for that ass. So parenthood also shows you who you are. And ladies, I don't know if y'all feel me, but I think that every man play that I don't hear the baby crying game. Like, man, you ain't sleeping that hard. I know you hear that baby in there hollering their goddamn head off. But I always got to be the one to go and pick the baby up, huh? Because this where the milk coming from, huh? Boy, I couldn't wait until Kennedy, my middle child, was off of that boob and on that bottle. Man, I was so ready. Yep. Feeding time is your time. That's on you, baby. Ding, ding, ding. Tag, you're it. So, like, if there's going to get to a point, excuse me, there's going to come a point when she can't work because now it's maternity leave. He making enough to make sure, you know, that he can handle the responsibilities of taking care of the family until she can go back to work. And then he hits you with the, baby, I don't want you to work no more. I got everything. You can be a stay-at-home mom, you know, spend time with the baby. This is my him voice, y'all. You know, I had to get a little deep for you, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, baby? And I got everything. I pay for everything. I got it. You just spend time with the baby and everything is beautiful and it's wonderful, right? And then she like, oh my God, babe. I would love to be a stay-at-home mom, and we can save on daycare, and you know what I'm saying? I could love on the child and do all this and make sure the house stay clean. I said that too. I really did think I could be an at-home mom. I did. A stay-at-home mom? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So we had our first child within 6 months of being married. I was pregnant when we got, I was like 3 or 4 months pregnant when we got married. So we had her in January. We got married in July. So that was my second child, his first. So there was a lot of shit that he just didn't know because he hadn't ever been around babies like that. Now, my son was 14 at the time. So I wasn't new to this. You know what I'm saying? I was true to this. So I thought, but I hadn't ever had a girl. So, you know, I have my way of doing things and he had his way of doing things. And I was always telling him, you ain't doing that right. You ain't bathing her right. You ain't putting lotion on her right. You know, all that. And one day he told me, he was like, you make me feel like I don't do anything right. Just let me do it. Let me find my own way and how to do it. And I said, you are correct. I am sorry. I apologize for making you feel that way. And I walked out the room because I couldn't watch him stumble and fumble all over this fatherhood thing. So I was like, let me just go downstairs. Let me get all the way out the way. And if the baby hollering, he up there with her, they gonna figure that shit out eventually. And he did. And then when she was 8 months, we found out that we were pregnant again. And I cried real sad ass tears. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm pregnant again? Like, right now? Like, there's another baby inside of me? I'm still breastfeeding this one. How is that? Lord have mercy. So I was afraid. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. And I'm just telling the story of how I became a stay-at-home mom. So now I got two babies. 17 months apart. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, so when am I going to sleep? When am I going to bathe? When am I going to eat? Like, when am I going to cook dinner? How am I going to be able to do this shit? This is a lot. Like, this was a lot. So I had to figure out how to feed a one-year-old and then still have the newborn strapped to me in the Moby wrap. Thanks, Amber, for the Moby wrap, because he didn't want to be put down and she didn't want to be put down. And it was just a clusterfuck of fucks going on in this house at that time. And eventually I got in the swing of things. But I think it was a little bit more difficult for my husband to kind of, we went from three, me, him, and my son, to 4 to 5 in literally 5 years. That's a short amount of time for the family to grow that fast. So I get it. And he's an only child. I'm used to a big family and kids being all over the goddamn place all the time. I'm used to that. So it was an easier transition for me than it was for him. And I know that. So we finally got the hang of it. And, you know, he told me I got everything. Like, you know what I'm saying? You just get the kids and all of that. And I knew that with the stay-at-home mentality, people assume that you have time to clean. They assume you have time to cook. They assume you have time to bathe and brush your teeth. And that is not true. And that's even with one child. They require so much attention. They require so much extra shit that the day literally just slips away. So I was trying to be superwoman. Like, I was literally at my wit's end, and I had gained so much weight after that second child. So I'm tired, my knees hurting, my breast is hurting because I'm still breastfeeding this big ass baby. I'm making my daughter's food because I wanted it to be more healthy than the jar food. So you got on top of juicing and making her own baby food. It was just so overwhelming. And I got to a point where I was just tired all the time. And I didn't like it. So, sorry, husband, if you hear this. What made me ready to get a job and get back into the workforce? Because I didn't work for almost 2 years. 2.5. No. It was longer than that. Because KB was 2 and he was almost 2 when I started working at Hell Farm. And I'll tell this story another time, too. So in 2014, he was born in 2013. In 2014, I got a job. And the reason why I wanted to work, even part-time, is because I asked my husband for some money to go to the store. I don't know if it was a grocery store or whatever. I just asked him for some money. Can I get such and such amount of dollars? And he said, what is it for? What you gonna use it for? That right there, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, girl. Nobody's gonna question you about the money that you spend. It's time for you to get a job. So I made arrangements. I found a wonderful babysitter, daycare, and that was not gonna charge us an arm, leg, and a couple toes for the kids to go. And I found a job and I started working part-time and I ain't stopped since. So different things motivate different people. But like, you know, that's the stay-at-home mom story. But what about stay-at-home dads? Are y'all cool with stay-at-home dads? I mean, she makes enough to take care of the family and they don't want to put the kids in daycare. Should he feel comfortable staying at home with the kids? I say yes, and there's a but to it, though. If he is staying at home with the children, she needs to treat him, his wife, needs to treat him with the same respect that she would expect if she was a stay-at-home mom. Just because, ladies, you make more money than him does not mean you are the man of the house. That does not mean that you can talk to him crazy, degrade him, and tell him what the fuck to do. He's still an adult. That's still a grown-ass man. But that's the decision that you all made for him to stay at home with the children and for you to work outside of the home. So check yourself before you wreck yourself if you one of them kind of women. So I personally love the fact that a dad will stay at home with his kids, because I don't think there are enough. We don't see it. Let me say that. We don't see enough evidence of fathers taking care of their children. Even on sitcoms and TV shows, the mother dedicates more time towards raising the children than the father does. Even still in 2019, there are still those dynamics on TV. And I didn't want that in my house at all. I didn't want my kids to feel like, oh, only mommy can take care of us, or daddy doesn't know what to do. Now, they still do that. If him and I are sitting next to each other, they'll walk right by him and come to me and ask something. And I'm like, you know what? Ask your daddy. Like, that feels good to be able to say, ask your daddy. Ah, I love it. So, So there are women who are afraid to leave their children at home with their own fathers. Like, this is your husband and this is his child, and you are afraid to leave that kid at home with him. Girl, let me tell you what you do. You take a nice shower, okay? You get you a real cute outfit, okay? Get your doll up. Plan a girl day with your girls. Hang out. Y'all go eat. Y'all shop a little bit. You eat again. You get some drinks. And you walk out that door. And you let that man take care of that child. However, it happens, they take care of children completely different than we do. As long as a child is fed, as long as a child is bathed, and as long as a child did not die or get hurt. Well, that's questionable, the getting hurt part. But as long as the child is in one piece when you get back, how he got all that shit done is none of your concern. The child is fine. If he can trust you enough to leave the house and go on and do his thing with the child, then you should do the same thing. Now, if you marry somebody that you just don't trust and they're immature, baby, that's on you. You got to take that up with yourself and the Lord. Not me. I don't know. I prefer mature men. And my husband does a very good job of raising our children, because I go a million miles a minute and I'm always doing something and I'm always somewhere. So he is definitely, you know, he has his own relationship with them, and I love it. Because, you know, my child is quick to tell me, well, daddy doesn't do it that way. Well, baby, I'm not your daddy. I'm your mama. And this is the way that I'm going to do it. So anyway, now we're on to the children. And we talked about, like, who takes care of the children. I think that should be equal as well. Both people need to help with homework, because husband is better at math than me, like, especially when it gets up to the high school level. You know, I got the 2 plus 2s and the multiplication tables and all of that. And I love geometry and I love algebra. But anything higher than that, that is on him. He's really good with science. Our youngest son loves science. So they have that connection. But both people, in my opinion, need to take just as much stock in both one, however many children that you have, as the other person. Well, one person is weak, the other person is definitely strong. So you have to be a unit. You have to work together to make that household shit work, to make that relationship shit work, to make that parenting shit work. Because it ain't easy. And it damn sure ain't easy doing it by yourself. Holla if you hear me. Because I was a single mom, and that shit ain't easy. Okay? So on to the next thing, should boys be taught the same things as girls? And should girls be taught the same things as boys? And this question has to be asked because I see a lot of boys don't know how to clean up. Like, they mama's doing everything for them. And I don't know how you expect for him to be a man if your ass is doing everything for him. If he is able-bodied, them hands, them feet, them legs. Baby, I don't care if he got one toe and half of an arm. He better use them other limbs that he got to clean up this goddamn room. You better hip-hop your ass around this room and pick that shit up with your other foot on your other toe and your other arm on your other hand. Figure it out. Pick it up. Because if you can mess up the room, your hip-hop ass can clean it up. But that's how I feel. But it's a lot of parents that they're not teaching their kids anything. And then they wonder why they aren't civilized citizens or upstanding adults, because you didn't teach them shit. It's girls out here, man, these little girls is nasty. It's some grown ass women that's nasty too, but you know, a nasty ass grown woman started off as a nasty ass little girl. So they just grew up in that shit. So there are girls who aren't just as nasty as the boys. And it could be because they're lazy, which all teenagers that I know are lazy. And I won't necessarily put it on the fact, and this is for boys too, I won't necessarily put it on the fact that they aren't being taught or they aren't being fussed at about it. I just see it as they lazier than a motherfucker. That's all. But if your child is over the age of 8, 10, and you are still cleaning their room for them exclusively, if you are still washing their clothes for them exclusively, you need your goddamn ass beat. They should at least be sorting their own clothes, and you can show them how to put their stuff in the wash and dryer and fold it. They should at least be able to clean up their own room. Not as good as you, but clean it nonetheless. 8 to 10 years old is strong enough to push a goddamn vacuum cleaner. That's strong enough. I spray in the tub. I marinate that bitch in Comet or whatever I'm using and some Pine Sol. And you go behind me and you scrub this motherfucker. You using it? Clean it. I don't clean shit I don't use. If I ain't using that bathroom, I ain't cleaning that motherfucker. Period. I am raising independent children around here who will not expect anybody to get shit done for them but them. If you want to help, that's fine. But I'm not doing all the extra shit. All these people in this house and I'm the only one doing something? Hell no. Nah, that ain't how I work around here. No, we ain't going to do that. Mm-mm. Nah, I can't even see that happening. So boys should be taught how to cook. Boys should be taught how to clean. Boys should be taught the same exact things a girl is taught. And just like boys need to be taught how to change tires, girls do too. You get a flat tire, girl, you better not be waiting on nobody for no amount of hours, especially if it's the daytime, and especially if your ass ain't got AAA. Either learn how to change a tire or make sure you always got AAA, period. I know how to change a tire. My father made sure I knew how to change a tire. And unfortunately, my God, I have had to change a tire on that truck more than I'd like to admit. But I always get it done because I know how to do it. And I don't have to wait around on my husband if he's nowhere near in the area to come and change a tire for me. I know how to put that spare on. I'm strong enough to throw that big ass tire in the back of the truck, go get a new one put on and keep it moving, doing what I was doing. A flat tire shouldn't ruin my day. I should be able to change that bitch and keep it moving. Girls also need to know how to take care of their cars. You don't have to depend on a man to wash your car for you. Why? You can get out there and wash your own goddamn car, nails or not. My nails stay dead. And if and when I feel like washing my car, then I will wash it. But I don't expect him to do that. So we need to make sure that we are teaching our children, boy or girl, the same things. No one should have to do or have to pay for something unless they want to. I know where the oil thingy is. I know where the transmission thingy is. You know, where you pull it out and see how much is left in there. Forgot what the proper name for it is. But y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about. I know where it is. I know how to pull it off with a little paper towel and then dip it back in to see how low my oil is. I go get an oil change in this truck every time the little beeper tells me to. I fill up my tank. Like, I'm not an invalid. I am, you know, able to make sure that happens. My goal is to make my husband's life in some areas as easy as humanly possible. I am a little thrown off. So, you know, there are certain things that'll never be easy for him. But that, oh yeah, that'll be easy for him. He shouldn't have to worry about all of that on top of all the other stuff that he has to worry about, and vice versa. We both grocery shop. We both cook. We both clean. We both wash clothes, towels, take care of the kids. Nobody feels like they're doing more than the other person. And if so, we are open enough with our communication that we can express that and the other person will adjust. You know what I'm saying? So let's take a quick pause and let me give y'all some information, and then we're going to get back into the topics, okay? So if you would like to catch the Facebook Live shows on Friday around 8:30 p.m., you can friend, like, share, follow the capitalized Candy Bag B, and that's B as in boy, I-H. On Instagram, I am the Candy Bag underscore B. And the email address for comments, questions, thoughts about the show, your opinions, ideas that you may have, you can reach out to me at itsthecandybagb@gmail.com. All right. So have a little bit more on relationship shit, and then we gonna get into the details, bitch. And if you watch the shows on Friday, then you understand the excitement for the details. Because the details is one of my favorite segments on this motherfucker. Yes! All right, so back to the topics here. You see how excited I got about the details? All right, so when you are in a relationship with somebody, you really have to make sure that you are taking up for your mate. If you have a monster-in-law, check that bitch. If you have a monster-in-law, that's the father-in-law, check that nigga. Don't let your family talk to your mate crazy in any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get on that. That's another subject. I just wanted to touch. Let put my hand on a little touch on that part, okay? And then we're also going to get into step-parents as well, because I was raised by a step-parent, and that is my daddy, period. I don't call him my stepfather at all. That is my daddy, and my kids know that's Pop-Pop. And I have a relationship with my biological father. My stepfather and my biological father are really cool with each other. Ain't no love lost. Everything is everything. The kids know they got three granddaddies. They have my husband's father. They call him G-Pop. They have my stepdad. They call him Pop-Pop. And then they have my biological father, and they call him Granddaddy. So, you know, it's just more love for the kids to have. That's all. But we'll get into the step-parent part on another show, because I have some thoughts on step-parents and some of the fucked up shit people be doing, but we ain't going to get into all of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, please clap your hands and get ready to hear Dick Tale, i.e. the 12-incher. Yes, you heard what I said. 12 whole inches. Okay, 12 of them. I want that to sink in so you can understand when I start telling this story why I said it the way that I did. So, in my Sophia's voice from Golden Girls, picture it. 2001. Slim black girl. No, it wasn't 2001. I ain't cut my hair yet. It was 2002. It was 2002 because I had already cut my hair into a fade. Got tired of that perm shit. Cut it off. So, let me start over. Picture it. 2002. The summer, bitch. Which means hot girl summer hoe. I don't even know why I met this dude. I cannot remember his name to save my life. The only thing I can remember is that 12-inch dick and the vicinity of where he lived at the time. Now, I ain't have a car back then. So, you know, if niggas wanted to smash, or I just heard a new word called schmang. If niggas wanted to schmang and smash, you had to come get me. And yes, you had to take me back because I'm somebody's mama. And I got to get my hoe on while he sleep, and then I'll come back. Okay. So, met this guy out, and he was like 6'9". He was really, really tall. And this is my early 20s. So, me being 6 feet tall, I was like, oh, bitch, yes. You know, finally found a man that's taller than you. Like, you kind of tiptoe to hug him. Now, in 2002, I was a whole ass 125 pounds, okay? So I was real thin, with a fade, much attitude, and a bad bitch all around, okay? You could not tell me anything because my waves stayed on point. My lineup stayed on point. And I had no idea that men were attracted to women with fades, but I soon found out that they love that shit. So, let's fast forward. So, we chit-chat on the phone for a while, and then he invites me over. Did we go out? No, I wasn't dating niggas then. I was just fucking and keeping it moving, honey, because why not? Let's come what we came to do. That was the goal. Let's make sure it happens. I wasn't looking for no goddamn boyfriend anyway. So he comes to pick me up, and I already knew what it was. I was very well aware. Now, I was and am the woman that carries condoms with her. Now, back then, I was in the Magnum condom phase, and if he can't fit a Magnum, I can't fuck with him. You know, that was my mentality. That was a lot of women's mentality, and unfortunately, we are still doing that shit. I hate Magnums. They stink. Anywho, so I always made sure I had some Magnums in my cute little clutch, and so we get back to his house. And we're sitting down and, you know, just listening to music, vibing and drinking wine and all that shit. And, you know, really just enjoying each other's company. And he invites me back to the bedroom. And I'm like, yes, bitch, you finna get some dick. You finna get some dick. You finna get some dick. So I'm happy, right? Now, camera phones were not really out then, so there was no way that I could have seen what the dick looked like before I got there. So we're in the act, and, you know, shit is getting heavy, hot and heavy. You know, it's getting a little warm in the room because, you know, you're touching and feeling and kissing and shit, you know, doing all that. And then I feel something. And then I felt it growing. And then it kept growing. Now, we hadn't got to the point where, you know, it's penetration time. You know, we're just doing the little bump and grind thing, you know, clothes still on and just foreplay, if you would. And back then, I didn't care if a man ate my pussy or not. I really preferred for them not to because that just was my thing. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't care if he ate my pussy. I don't even think he did. I can't even remember that shit. So, and if he did, it wasn't memorable because I don't remember that shit. So anyway, so baby, I put my hand around it. And it was so much room left after I put my hand around it. And I was like, oh, bitch. Oh, bitch, you in trouble now. You can't back up out this shit now, ho. You're going to have to work it out. Now, I had way more gusto then than I have now. Now, I'd be like, I don't know where the fuck you think you finna put that, but where it's not going is inside of me. Back then, it was more of a, oh, bitch, you got this. You can do this, bitch. Listen, I know it's bigger than what you're used to. This is me talking to myself. I know it's bigger than what you're used to. But girl, what you not gonna do is walk up out this house without getting on that dick, okay? What you cannot do is let this nigga think you a punk bitch and you can't take no dick. Because that's what we known for, you know, in our head. That's what we known for. We known for taking dick. That's what I said to myself, right? So I'm hyping myself up. And I got to, because this motherfucker is a whole 12 inches. So, you know, I said, you know, let me see. Let me see if I can give him some head, right? Now, this is how stupid I was. Girl, you cannot wrap your entire mouth around this thick ass, long ass dick. But shit, it didn't stop me from trying, God damn it. I made sure that I didn't get far because, I mean, I do have a gag reflex and that was a lot. I don't have 12 inches of throat. So, I mean, you know, a bitch did the best that she could do. You know, I probably didn't even make it too far past the head. I don't know. If I knew the nigga, I'd ask him and laugh about it. But I don't, so I can't. So, anyway. So, he wants me on top first. I think that was a bad idea. I think that was a really bad idea. Now, I was 22, yes. And he was about 25, 26. Okay. So, I positioned myself because, you know, I'm a rider. Like, I know what the fuck I'm doing when I get up there. And at the time, I was a dick bouncer. You know, I just bounced on that bitch because my knees worked very well. And I could plant my feet and leverage and do all kind of tricks and shit. I could spin around that bitch and not even get up off of it. Like, you know, I was turning niggas out here. Also, I thought, you know what I'm saying? That's just what I think. So I ease down, you know, ease on down, down the dick. You know what I'm saying? And before I could get all the way down on it and just, you know, because it's smart to ease your way down onto it, ladies. You got to ease your way down onto that dick, ladies. Okay. I'm going to talk real close to the mic so y'all can hear what I'm saying. So you ease that pussy down on that dick, right? If it is girthy and it has length to it, you have to sit still for a minute to give your pussy time to get acclimated to all of that. Make sure you tell him, don't move, give me a minute, okay? Because you need that time for the pussy molding, you know what I mean? Well, I know that at 38. I didn't know that at 22. Baby, before I could get all the way down on that dick, that nigga met me thrust for... I should have hit the ceiling how hard I jumped up because he literally stuffed all 12 inside of me. I'm coming. Just picture it. Picture it. 2002. I'm coming down. Now I have my feet planted. So I'm like up on my knees and I'm easing down, 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 down the dick. And he hits me. Bow. Baby. It took everything in me not to holler out in pain. Now, what I did do, I said, don't do that shit no more. Just let me ride, okay? And like, whew. And no, he didn't listen to me. So, yes, he kept meeting me thrust for thrust. And, you know, when it was slow, it was good. But when he started speeding up, I was like, nigga. No, you have got to stop doing that shit. So we changed positions. And now he want to do doggy style. Now, under normal dick circumstances, doggy is my favorite. I love it. Like, if you're going to be back there, give me all you got, baby. Whether you're going slow, medium, or fast, give me what you got. I can handle it. I can take it. I could not take that one. So I'm bent over and he's behind me. He does not have a headboard, but his bed is just up against the wall. Oh, Lord have mercy. I can almost feel that again. So, you know, back then, you know, it was all about the beating the pussy up and doing the beat 'em up dance afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Baby boy type shit. So he's taking it easy, which thank you. He's that thing on in. And then he sped up. And then he sped up some more. And then he gave me a hard thrust. And yes, you know exactly what happened, don't you? I ran directly head first into the wall. First of all, I didn't weigh but 125 pounds. So a good forceful thrust, bitch. I hit my head straight on that wall. And you know what happened? I laughed. He laughed. And we continued on. And baby, when I tell you, he beat the bottom out this pussy. I mean, he beat the bottom out. So I ended up spending the night because it was really late by the time we finished. And then, wait. Let me go back. So not only did this nigga have a girthy ass, long ass 12-inch dick, he also had the nerve, the gall, and the audacity to have some motherfucking stamina. So, nigga, you beating the box out for longer than 30 minutes. Now, you know, again, I was 22 and I'm 38 now. I'd have stopped his ass back then. Like, hey, pimp, I'm finished and I'm done. I don't know what you have left to do, but I am done. Because what you're not finna do is keep fucking me and I can feel your dick in my throat from the bottom of my pussy. We're not doing that. But at 22, I was like, bitch, you can take that shit. I know it hurt. I know, girl. I know it hurt, but remember your goal. Your goal is to always be remembered. And this nigga, you don't want him to remember you as the bitch who couldn't take no dick. So suck it up, buttercup, and let's get it. Now, my head was still throbbing a little bit because, you know, I did hit my head on the wall and all. But, you know, I kept it going. So we're done. Okay. We go to sleep. Wake up the next morning. And listen to me. I ain't never felt no shit like that ever in my life. Okay, so the liver is up here, and then the kidney, no, the liver down here and the kidney up here. Wherever they at, they was rearranged. My uterus was on my back, okay? My clit was swollen to be damned, okay? My walls, I don't even think I had pussy walls left after that. And every step I took, I could feel my insides moving around. I swear to God, he rearranged a whole bunch of shit on the inside of me, and I didn't like it at all. Like, that was extremely unpleasant. But I had to, you know what I'm saying, put on and act like everything was cool because I couldn't see this nigga, you know, I couldn't let him see me hurting. You know what I'm saying? I have a reputation to uphold. God damn it. I don't know what reputation that was because, you know, he didn't know nobody I knew, but, you know, in my own head, I had a reputation to uphold. So I crawled up the steps to my apartment. No, to my house because I lived with my daddy at the time. So I crawled up all them long-ass steps to my daddy's house. And I was bedridden for like 3 days after that because every time I coughed, I swear my pussy fell out. When I peed down my leg. I had to take a sit-down bath in Epsom salt for 3 fucking days before I could feel like my pussy was my pussy again. Cause that shit was his at first. And that shit hurt. So about a week later he called and was like, "What's up? What you doing?" Nope, nothing. Not you. I'm not doing you ever again. And he was like, What I do? I said, "Nigga, you know how long your dick is?" He was like, "Yeah, it's like, you know, 11, 12 inches." 11, 12? 11? 11 what? No, that shit is all 12. And you got all 12 inside of me. And you beat the fucking bottom out my pussy with all 12. Okay? I said, "I could not feel my pussy for 3 goddamn days after you." Okay? You rearranged all of my insides. And that shit did not feel good. And I don't want to do that no more. He was like, "I take it easy. I take it easy." No, you won't. Nigga, you not going to take it easy. Mm-mm. You ain't finna trick me like that. I know better. And he said, but you're the only one that ever been able to take the put, you know, take the dick like that. And I'm going to be the last. Because I am not doing that shit again. He thought that I was playing. And I was dead ass serious. You are not about to rearrange my pussy. You're not going to do that. While the champ is here, you know, your girl did a motherfucking thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm memorable and shit like that. But nah, I'm good. Nah, I like my pussy right where it is, and I prefer for it not to be on my back. So, you know, once it unswolled itself and the Epsom salt baths worked, I was okay, and I moved on to another nigga. I can't remember that nigga name either, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But that is the end of that dick tale, Mr. 12-incher. Jesus. Lord have mercy. That's a big-ass dick. Like, 12 inches with girth. I need to maybe measure to see how girthy that was. Because and I'll follow up with y'all next month. Next Wednesday, Monday, whenever this shit drop, I'll follow up with y'all on that, because that shit was thick as fuck. God damn. Boy, I was bold in my 20s. Ain't no way in the hell I do that shit now. Nah, I'm cool. Ain't nobody beating this box out. I'm straight. I don't need that no more. So here goes another port that I love, and it is called
Who Gonna Check Me?
Who gonna check me, boo? So this is the segment of the show where I go the fuck off on whoever I feel like going the fuck off on today. Now, on the live show on Friday, I went off just a little bit on these niggas and hoes out here talking crazy about Lil Rashawn. And I feel that it's necessary to speak on it a little bit, because I had a little bit more to say on that. So if you are not aware, Anthony Fuqua, he is a director. He directed Training Day with Denzel Washington. He is the husband of Lila Rashawn, i.e. Bad Feet from Boomerang and Sunshine from Harlem Nights. Now, they've been married 20 years. They have children together. And he requested that she stay home with the children once they had kids, and his career blew up and all of that. Now, in the process of these 20 years, he has had 3 children outside of his marriage. And I call these yard children because, you know, if you think about it, you know, the kids between the husband and wife are inside of the house and the yard children are in the yard. So he done had all these goddamn yard babies, and she's still with his ugly ass. Okay? Going through that shit with him. She almost died giving birth to their children, still with his ugly ass. And then you motherfuckers got the nerve, the gall, and the audacity to say that, oh, well, let me pull back. So he gets photographed in Italy kissing Nicole Murphy. If you are not aware, Nicole Murphy was married to Eddie Murphy. They have 5 children together. Eddie Murphy was caught cheating on her with a transsexual. Subsequently, they got divorced. So, there are fellas who, again, had the nerve, the gall, and the audacity to say that, oh, he probably cheated on her because she let herself go. Because she has gained weight since her roles on Boomerang and Harlem Nights. And, you know, if you've been with somebody for 20 years, you understand the process of weight gain and weight loss. It goes up and it goes down. You never really know how that shit's going to work out. So, you know, there have been very unpleasant photos of her going around, walking around town. It's just like she was running errands. And a comment said, wow, she really let herself go. Or, my, look how things have changed. And these comments are coming from big back, wide hipped, man titty having, beard don't connect right, ain't seen they own dicks in years, face ass fat niggas. Now, these comments are also coming from big backed, back titty having, saggy front titty having, ball headed, chin beard having ass women as well. And that's what shocked me the most. I don't know anybody who is the same weight they were 20 years ago. Hell, even I'm not. And I done got back skinny. Slim. So how is it that you out of shape motherfuckers got the nerve to say that the reason why he cheated on her is because she let herself go? No, correction. The reason why he cheated on her, because he's a dog ass, trash ass nigga. That's why. Don't make it seem like how she looks is the cause of him having a wayward dick. No, that's not how any of this work. Because if that was the case, a lot of you niggas who ain't seen your dicks in a while, that mean your ass should be cheated on. Because let me tell you something. More stomach, less dick. However long it is. Remember that. That's the motto. More stomach, less dick. I hope you can compensate with that mouth. And not talking dumb shit. I'm talking about on the lips, the pussy lips, licking it up. I hope you can compensate. Anyway, so what you fat motherfuckers need to do, or anybody who got anything to say why he cheated on her and why it's her fault. Nobody is blaming his trifling ass. He cheated on her, but it's her fault? Oh, okay. Okay, so that's what we doing today? Okay. Got it. Straight. Cool. Bet. Nah, nigga, fuck you. Nope, that's not how that works. You can't blame that woman for him cheating on her. And I'm not going to let y'all do that shit. I'm not going to let you do that on Instagram. I'm not going to let you do that on Twitter. I'm not going to let you do that on Facebook. I'm going to roast the fuck out your ass and dare for you to try me. Try me, nigga. Come on. Come. I want you to. Make me tell you about yourself. Make me go the fuck off. Make me be disrespectful. Because y'all being disrespectful to that woman. And if nothing else, Treece is team woman all day. I'm going to take up for my women, period. Now, I love my black men and I'm going to take up for y'all too. But I'm thinking about the ladies first. So get that shit together. But anyway, that is the end of my Who Gonna Check Me. And that is the end of the show. Like, we made it. Like, the first official show. I am so excited. Like, excited, nervous. And I'm so thankful for all the support. Everybody who's pushed me. Everybody who sent me ideas and situations and scenarios. I thank you. I'm going to give you the podcast information again. You will be able to find this episode on Anchor.fm, or you can absolutely download the app, which is Anchor, like A-N-C-H-O-R, Anchor. You can reach out to me on Facebook on the podcast page, and it is called The Capitalized Candy Bag B. Please like, follow, share the page. You can comment. You can watch the videos from the lives. I've been doing it for about 3 weeks, and I really enjoy that shit. Like, it's fun as hell. Like, it's funny to get feedback, like, in the moment. And thank you to all the listeners and the watchers. I appreciate it. Send this shit out to your people. If you know some women that need to hear this, send that to them, too. Send them the link. Send them the app. Tell them how to find me. If you have a situation, an idea, a scenario, you want to give props, you got a Who Gonna Check Me that you want me to read for you, you can send it to itsthecandybagb@gmail.com. Please follow, like, share, On Instagram, I am thecandybag_B. Again, thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're gonna do. Like, I appreciate it all. LB is out this bitch, and I'll see y'all next week.